Father. Thank you. Thank you. know to turn it on to save us? Well, good morning. Anybody like to have a little fun? Well, this song has no spiritual meaning, but we like to sing it. So you guys, listen. It's a great song. Anybody Marty Stewart fans? Any Marty Stewart fans? That's what I'm talking about. This song is called Freight Train Boogie. Well, Casey Jones is a mighty man. Now he's resting in the promised land. Only time you need to understand what the big eight leader under his command brings to me. All the time. You make a great train buggy and let it roll down the line. Put your hands
everybody. Welcome to Thousand Hills Ranch Church. We are a Come As You Are Cowboy Church, meeting here in the Sale Barn of the Lord every Sunday morning at 10:30. We're so glad you are here. There's a guest information table outside by the front door that has cowboy Bibles, stickers, and lots of other stuff and information about the church. We have children's church as soon as the music is over. And we also have a nursery. This is all in the cafe down here. Heather will be reordering some more t-shirts tomorrow. To see Heather, if you would like some t-shirts, this is the last order that she'll be putting in. We have a leadership team meeting today at the cafe for all team leaders and the elders. August 31st, which is a Wednesday, we'll have a Bible study at the bank. Is that right, Bo?
Right.
That would be on the Book of James at 6:30 p.m. A study is for all ages, and you have child care provided. Is that right?
Yeah, it's an adult Bible
study. An adult Bible study, but there's child care provided. And Bo has here in big, bold letters, praise for the rain. Absolutely. We have a meet and greet now. Everybody stand up and say hi to somebody around you. Thanks for coming.
Thank you.
this day, that you bless us with, God. And thank you for everybody who's here, God. And I pray that you would just speak to all of us in here today, that you would just touch our hearts and change our lives. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. The children can go to children's church.
Anybody had fun yet? Hey, if you want to throw your hat at any time, you can do that. I've always wanted to do that, but I'm afraid I'm going to poke somebody's eye out. So. Burn it! So, you guys keep your heads, you know, up, because you might get hit one of these days. I'm going to lay it out there. Two rules when you listen to me preach. Okay, you ready? You can smile. That's the first rule. The second one is when I say amen, we don't say amen, we say what?
Yeah.
That's what I'm talking about right there. So just feel free to do that at any point. We're not going to look at you weird for very long. but we like to have a little fun. If you've never been to Cowboy Church or Thousand Hills, we do things a little different, but we feel like God is blessing what we're doing, right?
Yeah.
And we're unashamed of that. Give the Lord a hand. Yeah, give him a hand. Well, anybody go to the ranch rodeo this weekend? Yeah. We actually had a good representation of our church. I think we had the loudest crowd at the rodeo. I know Sam over here, Sam was in the junior rodeo, right? You guys won the average? Yeah, give him up. Give it up for Sam. And then Marcia, where's Marcia? Marcia's over here. Hey, how'd y'all end up? Did you end up in placing or anything? Came in 5th out of 13, probably. 5th out of 13, that's pretty awesome. Give it up for Marcia. Marcia can throw a mean heel loop, that's all I gotta say. She stepped up there. She didn't even have her rope down when she started, but by the time it was over, she had a rope down and she threw a heel loop and caught. She did an awesome job. We also had a team. My friends and I had a team. Your church members had a team, and God, you know, kept us safe. I don't have any stitches. I got all my teeth. So we did good, yeah. When we get those deals, I usually say, can we be on Friday in case I need to go to the emergency room? I have a day to heal before I got to speak on Sunday. But we actually, out of 16 teams, our team got 4th place. And it was the first check we'd ever won. We brought home $750 on that deal. My wife said, keep going, keep going. That's the only time she ever said that. Probably because we haven't ever won a check. But it was a little muddy, too. And I don't know if you were there when I prayed. I prayed for rain. I said, it doesn't matter what hardship it brings during this rodeo. We want the rain. Bring the rain. And I don't know how many inches you got, but we got a dump load. Right there in the arena, and it was awesome. We had a muddy time, and it was just a cool thing. All right. Well, this morning, we're going to talk about the Bible, right? I mean, that's what we do at church, right? How many of you guys have ever made a bad choice? Anybody ever made a bad choice? All right. Those of you that aren't raising your hands, bunch of liars. Well, here's, and I don't know, anybody sports fans? Anybody like sports? Yeah, we all like sports, right? Anybody like baseball? Baseball fans? Okay, who's Rangers? Rangers fan? Yankees? Red Sox? Orioles? Diamondbacks? Anybody? Red Hawks?
Giants?
Okay. Well, here's the deal. I want to tell you a story, and it was about a bad choice that I made one time. I'm not a baseball fan. I never played baseball. We wrestled. We played football. I played a little tennis growing up because I wanted to bring a little masculinity to the tennis court. Whatever that's worth. They should have picked another guy, right? But anyways, I really don't like baseball, but I've been to a few baseball games. I've been to Arizona. Actually, Heather and I, we went on our honeymoon to Boston, or actually we went to Rhode Island, but on our honeymoon we went to Boston for a day, and the Yankees were playing the Red Sox, and then we went to New York one day, and the Yankees, there was a series, and so then they were in New York that night, so we didn't get to go to the game, but we stood outside, the Green Monster, and just smelt the bratwurst, you know what I'm saying? I mean, it was awesome. Been to Diamondbacks, been to lots of Rangers games, all that stuff, but here's the deal, August 4th, 1993, how many of you guys were not born yet? Anybody? Not born yet. Okay, great. I feel really old now. I was 18 at that point. I just graduated high school in 1993, August 4th. I had a friend. His name's Craig Murphy. He owns a gun store in Duncan, Oklahoma, named Murph's Guns. If you've ever been there, worked there. And he's older than I am. He was a great friend of mine. And he invited me to go on vacation with his family. So they decided to go to Six Flags, which is of the devil. Amen? Six Flags, not fun. Maybe it's because I was a youth pastor for like 15 years and I went every summer and it wore me out. But anyways, they decided to go to Six Flags on their vacation. So I said, and they invited me to go. They had three little kids and I guess they wanted me to babysit it or something, which was crazy because I was like, jump, man. You know? So we go to Six Flags and we have a great time. We get wet and all that fun stuff and we're done with Six Flags, and we pile the family in the Suburban or whatever it was, and we drive by Texas Stadium, and Craig asked the family, he goes, who wants to go to the Texas Rangers baseball game tonight? And all the girls were like, no, boo, boo. You know, they were all like, no, we don't want to go to the Texas Rangers game. And we were like, yeah, we want to go. And then finally we listened to the girls, which was a mistake. That was the first wrong choice that we made. August 4th, 1993, Texas Rangers playing the Chicago White Sox. Guess who's on the mound? Nolan Ryan. Nolan Ryan, one of the greatest pitchers ever in the history of baseball. And by the way, one of the greatest ranchers there is. He's actually receiving the Golden Spur Award this year for being one of the greatest promoters of ranching, the beef industry, cattle industry. He's raised cattle all his life. And now he has an all-natural cattle operation where he sells all-natural beef to stores like Kroger and all those big stores in Texas. But anyways, Nolan Ryan is on the mound. And I don't know if you remember this date or not, and you're going to maybe remember it after I say it, but Nolan Ryan is on the mound. Guess who comes up to pitch? Robin Ventura. Anybody know where I'm going? Robin Ventura steps up to the plate. Nolan Ryan throws the pitch and beans Robin Ventura right in the back. Well, Robin Ventura made the biggest mistake of his life when he took two steps toward first and then he threw his hat off or his helmet off and he charged Nolan Ryan. Do you remember that? Charged Nolan Ryan. So here's Nolan Ryan, throws his glove off and stands there like that, and all Robin Ventura does is he bear hugs Nolan Ryan. Well, when he does, Nolan Ryan sticks him in a headlock and begins to wail on his face. Boom! I mean, he's hitting him on the top of the head. I mean, Nolan Ryan's 46 years old. Robin Ventura, 28 years old, Nolan Ryan's got him in a headlock. Just boom, boom. Handing his face to him on a platter. First of all, Robin Ventura made the biggest mistake of his life. I mean, that made Nolan Ryan even more of a legend after that. And we made a big mistake that day because we chose not to go to the stinking game. And I'm not promoting promoting fighting, but I'm promoting defend yourself. If some old boy comes after me, you better bring it. You know what I'm saying? Nolan Ryan did it. We made a wrong choice to miss that game, and we missed out on a good fight. Well, today, I'm going to try to teach you through the Word of God on how we can make better choices. How we can make better choices. Since the beginning of time, man has had to make choices, right? Some are hard, some are easy, some are life-changing, some are eternal. Like, what color of hair do I choose this month, right? That was what my mom, that was her hardest decision in life. She was a hairdresser, and I smelled the perm every week of my life, and I hate perm smell. But that was her hard decision. Maybe you're having a decision on who to marry. Maybe you made that decision already. Maybe you're having to decide, you know, what school do we send our kids to, or, you know, what should we name our kids, or, you know, should we have kids, or, you know, what should we do about the situation at school where there's bullying? I mean, there's all kinds of choices to be made. Well, some of you guys are here today, and you're facing some pretty major choices in your life. Sell all your cows, you know, kick your son out because he's not obeying the rules, you know, should I quit my job? My wife wants to leave me, what should I do? I mean, there's all kinds of choices that maybe you're going through today. Well, you can either choose to do the right thing, or you can choose to do the wrong thing. And today we're going to look at a couple that chose to do the wrong thing, and it made a difference for the whole world. If you've got your Bibles, turn to Genesis chapter 2. Genesis chapter 2, we're going to start, and that's the first book in the Bible. If you have a whole Bible or a full Bible, it's the first book in the Bible, so that you just flip to the first book and you'll find it right there. If you don't have your Bible, it's going to be on the screen for you today. Genesis chapter 2. We're going to look at verses 4 through 9 and then 15 through 17. Follow along as I read the verses. And again, you can follow along on the screen if you don't have your Bible today. The story of Adam and Eve. And here it says, in verse 4, it says, "This is the account of the heavens and the earth when they were created. When the Lord God made the earth and the heavens, and no shrub of the field had yet appeared on the earth, and no plant of the field had yet sprung up. For the Lord had not sent rain on the earth, and there was no man to work the ground. But streams came up from the earth and watered the whole surface of the ground. And the Lord God formed the man from the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. And the man became a living being. Now the Lord God had planted a garden in the east, in Eden, and there he put the man he had formed. And the Lord God made all kinds of trees grow out of the ground, trees that were pleasing to the eye and good for food. In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of knowledge of good and evil." Now skip down to verse 15. It says, "The Lord God gave the man, or took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to work it and to take care of it. And the Lord God commanded the man, 'You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die.'" You will surely die. Let's pray together. Ask God to bless the rest of our time. Lord, I know there are people in this room today that are having some choices to make. And Lord, may you show us through your word, through the power of your word, how to make right choices. Lord, we thank you that you are there with us to help us do that. And we give you all the glory. It's in your name I pray. Amen. Well, in these scriptures, God gave Adam the responsibility of the garden, right? I mean, if you've never heard this story, this is the story of creation. You know, there's a lot of people out there that say there was something else that created. Big Bang Theory, or, you know, evolution, or whatever it is. That is all false. Amen? Amen?
Yeah.
Yeah. This is the story of the creation of the world. It was created by God. And God gave Adam the responsibility, and he told him, you can eat of any tree in the garden, but you can't eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, I don't know about you, and I like to tell it myself, but when you tell me not to do something, it's like, it attracts me to it. It's like, where is it? You know? Now, I don't know if Adam was like me or anything. I mean, when my parents told me not to do something, I mean, it was like, okay, so where's that at? You know? I remember my parents, we had an above-ground pool. It was 4 feet deep. And we had this deck that was built. I mean, it was about this tall, the sides of the pool were. And we had a deck that was built above it so that you could, you know, jump off the deck. My parents always said, now, you boys don't play that king of the deck, okay? You don't be playing on that deck. It's slippery. You're going to bust your chin. What did we do? We played king of the deck, right? I remember my brother. My brother's a little short, squatty guy. His name's Branch. I call him Stump. But I remember my brother. I mean, he was pretty, he was shorter, so he had better balance than me. And that, I mean, when a deck, it's a wooden deck, it gets slick. And when you get slick, man, you go try to play king of the deck, guess who busts their chops every time? It's the younger brother, right? Because we chose to do what we were told not to do, right? We had a choice. God gave Adam a choice. And you say, well, why would God give Adam a choice? Why didn't he just choose for him? Well, here's the deal. God wanted Adam to obey. He wanted him to obey. Without a choice, Adam would have been like a prisoner or like a slave. He wouldn't have had a choice. It would have been like working for Hitler, right? But God wanted him to obey. The two trees offered Adam a choice. Obey God and receive the rewards, or disobey and receive the consequences. Now, here's the truth. The truth is, it's the same for today, right? We have a choice to make. We can choose to do what's right and get God's blessings, or we can choose to sin and pay the consequences. Look at Genesis chapter 3, and we'll find out what the choice was that Adam and Eve made. Look at it. Verse 1 says, now the serpent, which is Satan, was more crafty than any of the wild animals the Lord had made. He said to the woman, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? The woman said to the serpent, we may eat from the fruit from the trees in the garden, but God did say you must not eat from the tree that is in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you will die. Now listen to this. You will not surely die, the serpent said to the woman, for God knows that when you eat of it, your eyes will be open and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. When the woman saw that the fruit of the tree was good for food and pleasing to the eye and also desirable for gaining wisdom, she took some and ate it. Darn women. No, I'm just kidding. It's all the woman's fault. It's biblical, babe. I mean, it's biblical. I'm playing. Then verse 7, then the eyes of both of them were opened. I'm sorry, I skipped back up there. She also gave it to her husband, which was her husband. See, he sinned too. It's not a woman's fault. Gave it to her husband who was with her, and he ate it. Then the eyes of both of them were opened, and they realized they were naked. So they sewed fig leaves together and made coverings for themselves. Now listen. They had a choice to make, and they made the wrong decision. They made the wrong decision, and it has changed the world forever. Sin came into the world because of a wrong choice that Adam and Eve made. And you might be here today, and you say, well, why did God choose to bring evil into the world? Have you ever asked that question? Anybody ever had that question? Why did God allow evil in the world? Why do we have all the murders in the world? Why is there so much child abuse? Why has all this stuff happened? Why did God allow that? And here's my answer. God didn't. God created a perfect world. Guess who chose to change it? Man. You say, well, why is there evil in the world? Why would God do that? God didn't do it. He created a perfect world, and man chose to make it imperfect. The reason that there is evil in this world, because it's not because God created or made it, is because man chose to do it. He chose to sin. And so man is to blame for the evil, not God. Well, in the Bible, there are three things that I want to point out today that we can learn from God's word about making better choices. You ready? If you're taking notes, number one is this. When faced with a choice of obeying or disobeying God, we must always choose to obey God. Sometimes you guys look at me like, man, that's simple. But it's not, is it? When we have a choice on whether we're going to obey or disobey God, we must always choose to obey God. Always. It's what we're supposed to do. Some of you say, well, if God is such a good God, why didn't he rid us from temptation? Why didn't he just get rid of it? Well, here's the answer. God wants us to choose to love him. It's a choice. If he made me love him, I wouldn't love him. But he gives me the choice to love him. Well, I have a 2-year-old colt named John Wayne. And John Wayne's not had his first ride yet, and hopefully when it starts pulling off, he's going to get his first ride. And one of the things that I've learned about training horses, and I'm not a great trainer, but I do try to read a lot. I've been to a lot of clinics, Clint Anderson, Craig, all those guys, and enjoy starting some horses. I'm getting a little too old for it. Because when I hit, I don't, bounce like I should, So, but anyways, I got to start John Wayne, and I want to teach him how to read cattle. Now, here's the deal. I was reading the Western Horseman the other day, and there's a guy in here named Jay McLaughlin. Anybody heard of Jay? He trains horses for Carol Rose. Anybody heard of Carol Rose? Carol Rose Corner Horses, Fort Worth, Texas. One of the greatest horse breeders alive, and Jay McLaughlin has an article in here called Making the Cow-Horse Connection. And here's what he teaches in here, and I love it. It says this. When the first time we start a colt on a cow, there's nothing in the arena but me and the horse and the cow. And it goes on. It says, with young horses, distractions need to be to a minimum when introducing cattle. Creating a lasting connection with cattle, one that is not forced, is imperative to the future endeavors of showing and even working cattle in the pasture. When I train a horse, I give that horse a choice. He can choose to do what's right, or he can choose to do what's wrong and face the consequences, right? If I make that horse do what I want him to do, he will never learn to think for himself. But if I give him a choice, then he can learn how to do that. Jay McLaughlin, he puts one steer in a pen, in a round pen, and he rides his horse, only one steer in the pen, and he just runs that horse in a circle until the horse finds the cow. It may take 10 minutes, it may take 20 minutes, but all of a sudden that horse finds that cow, not because he forced him to find it, but because he just found it on his own. Now, when you're teaching a horse to rate or read cattle, you want them to make the choice. You want to give them a choice, and then when they don't make the right choice, you correct them. But you always want to give them a choice because it makes them learn. It helps them to learn and to be able to think and choose the right response. Well, here's the truth. When it comes to life, God doesn't force us. He doesn't force us. God gives us a choice. But here's the cool thing about God. Listen, here's the cool thing about him. He doesn't leave us to make our choices on our own. He gives us Jesus. He allows Jesus to be our example. He gives us the Word of God. We have the Holy Spirit to guide us and to give us the strength to do what's right. And here's the cool thing. God always provides a way out. When you're tempted to do something wrong, a lot of people go, well, I couldn't help myself. I couldn't help myself. Well, you know what? That's true if you don't know Christ. If you don't know Christ, you don't have the power to say no to sin because you don't have the Holy Spirit living inside of you. But if you're a Christian, guess what? There's no excuse, really. I mean, are we going to sin as Christians? Absolutely. But we ought to sin less because we have the power in Jesus Christ to say no to sin. To say no to sin. God always provides a way out. Listen to 1 Corinthians 10:13. It says, no temptation has seized you except what is common to man. And God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can stand up underneath it. Here's the truth. We have everything we need to make the right choice. can I just throw something in right here that's not in my notes? And you say, well, how do I know how to make the right choices in life? If you don't read this, you won't know. But if you read this, you will find every answer to the questions that you have in your life. I promise you, if you'll just read this, you will find the answers. You say, what am I supposed to do with my kids? Should I make, you know, should I get a new job? Should I marry this person? Listen, you can find all the answers. I mean, there's a lot of black and white stuff that you don't even have to pray about. Right? The answers are here to make the right choice. So, number one, we always have to obey God. When there's a choice to be made, we have to obey God. Now, here's number two. Jesus can relate to our choices. Jesus can relate to our choices. You say, well, that, you know, Jesus has always been on the throne. I mean, he's always, you know, he's God. So how can he relate to me? You forget that he wore flesh just like you and me. He walked this earth with flesh on, and he was tempted in every way that we've been tempted. Look at Hebrews chapter 4. And the high priest here is Jesus. Listen to it. Therefore, since we have a great high priest who has gone through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold firmly to the faith we possess or profess. For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weakness, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we are, yet was without sin. Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Listen, you may be here today and you're going, this Jesus guy, he just can't relate to me. He doesn't know what I'm going through. Yes, he does. Yes, he does. He walked the face of the earth. He was tempted with lust. He was tempted with all kinds of sins that we face even today. And you say, well, no, there was no porn back then. Really? You don't think there was? You don't think there was harems and prostitutes? There was. Absolutely there was. He faces every temptation that we face. But here's the cool thing about our Savior. He didn't sin. Oh, I don't know about you, but that makes my Jesus separate from all the other so-called gods, right? Jesus Christ walked the face of the earth, and he never sinned. Here's another great truth about Christ. Look at verse 16 again. It says, let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need. Not only can he relate, but listen to what he does. He welcomes us. He says, approach my throne. He is sitting on the throne today. And guess what? He says, approach my throne. Even in your sin, you can approach me with confidence, and you will receive mercy and grace because I have been in your shoes. I don't know about you, but that's pretty cool. The God of the universe doesn't go, hey, get away from me. Stay away from me. You're not worthy. No, what does he do? He says, come. Come to me. Receive grace. Receive mercy. You've made a wrong choice. I'll help you work through it. I'll forgive you of your sin, and I can help you make it better. Maybe you're here today, and you just can't believe that he can understand what you're going through. Listen, give him a try. You know what God says? Give me a try. Jesus says, just try me. Just come to me. Just walk to me. Just come, and I will give you rest. Now, here's the last choice, or the last point today. And here's what it is. The ultimate choice is an eternal one. The ultimate choice is an eternal one. And here's the choice. Should I receive Christ's forgiveness and give him my life and choose to obey him in every decision, or do I reject him? That's the ultimate choice. Everybody has to make that choice. I've had to make that choice in my life. You have to make that choice in your life. Are you going to choose to accept Christ and receive his forgiveness, or are you going to reject him? That's the choice that we all make. And let me give you a few reasons why I think you ought to choose Christ. First of all, he loves you and loved you so much that he died on the cross for you. I don't know about you, but that'd be hard for me to do. But he died for you. He died for every one of you. If you're here today and you've sinned and you know you're maybe living in sin right now, guess what? He died for you. And he loves you. And he wants you to come to him. And also, here's the other reason why you should choose to accept Christ. He has already chosen you. He's chosen you. Listen to John 15:16. It's after Romans 5:8, but John 15:16, it says this: "You did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you to go and bear fruit, fruit that will last." He's chosen you. How many of you guys have ever, you know, been in a situation where, you know, it's like they're choosing teams? Remember when you was a kid in junior high and they're choosing teams and you were like the last one to get chosen? That was me. I was the slow white boy and never got chosen at the very end. Listen, God chooses you. And he gave his son so that you can have eternal life. Here's the cool thing. Without his choice to send his son to die for us, we wouldn't have a choice. We would all be destined for hell. Anybody ever heard of the possum? Anybody heard of George Jones? George Jones. All right, how many of you guys grew up in the 60s, you old people? Anybody? Great, thank you. Well, in the 60s and the 70s and the 80s, this is what I'm going to end with. In the 60s, 70s, and 80s, there was a guy named George Jones. If you never heard of George Jones, you've missed a good story. George Jones, if you didn't follow his music, like what was some of the songs? Why, Baby, Why? Is that one of his songs? White Lightning? You know, I can't remember. White Lightning. He Stopped Loving Her Today. But here's the deal. If you didn't follow George Jones, you didn't really know about his life. His life was horrible. I mean, he had been divorced 3 times. He was married to Tammy Wynette for a while before he married his current wife, which is Nancy. But George loved to drink. He loved to drink. I mean, he drank whiskey like it was water. And he got into drugs. He blew pretty much everything he had. He had to file for bankruptcy. He was a part of over 100 lawsuits. And he missed almost 50 shows in 1 year. And what was his nickname? No Show Jones. That's right. Well, the story goes also, when he would come to the concerts, when he actually made it to the concerts, he would have his lead guitar on one side and his bass guitar on the other, standing pretty close to him so that they could catch him before he fell. That's how bad it got for George Jones. Well, in 1999, after a horrific car accident, George got sober. And in 2000, George wrote a song called Choices. If you've never heard it, you need to listen to it. Here's some of the words in this song. It says, "I've had choices since the day I was born. There were voices that told me right from wrong. If I had listened, I wouldn't be here today, living and dying with the choices I've made." That's a song that he wrote in 2000, or that he sang in 2000. In 2003, George Jones released a gospel album, and he sings another song. Listen to this song. It's called "I Know a Man Who Can." And listen to this. "I can't take a heart that's broken and make it over again, but I know a man who can. I can't take a soul that's sin sick, wash it white as snow, but I know a man who can. Some call him Savior, the Redeemer of all men. I call him Jesus, for he's my dearest friend. If you feel that no one loves you and your life is out of hand, I know a man who can." It's a great, great song. Listen, at some point, George Jones gave his heart to Jesus Christ. He chose to follow him. Will you make that choice today? Will you make that choice maybe for the first time to accept him into your life, give him your life, surrender your life to him so that you can have the strength to do what's right? I hope that you'll do that today. I want you to bow your head and close your eyes for just a second. Just for my sake, and no one's going to look around, we're not going to point you out or anything, but just for my sake, how many of you guys would raise your hand and say, "You know what, Bo, I'm having some choices to make in my life, and some pretty tough choices right now." How many of you guys would just raise your hand and say, "That's me. I got some choices to make." Thank you. All across the room. All across the room. Can I reiterate to those of you that raised your hand? Choose to obey God. No matter what it takes, No matter what sacrifice you have to make, I promise you from the experience of my own life, if you will choose to obey God, He will work whatever out. But here's what I've also learned, because I'm a sinner just like you. When I choose to disobey, I pay the consequences. Maybe you're here today and you need to make the choice of a lifetime. You need to make a choice to enter into a relationship with Jesus Christ. Listen, it's simple. Romans 10, 9 and 10 says this: if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and what that means is that He is the Lord of your life, you want Him to lead you, to guide you, to be the boss of your life. If you confess that and you say, Lord, I want you to lead me, I want you to forgive me of my sin. And here's the second thing. If you believe in your heart that God raised Him from the dead, the Bible says that you will be saved. And what that term saved means is this: that He'll come in. He'll come into your life. He'll fill you with His Holy Spirit, and He'll forgive you of your sin, and He will give you eternal life in heaven. Some of you need to make that ultimate choice today. You need to make the choice to give your life to Him. Listen, at Thousand Hills, we don't ask you to come to the front. We don't ask you to fill out a card. All we ask you to do is let us know, whether you text me or write us or catch somebody afterwards or talk to one of our elders. Our information is going to be on the screen. If you give your heart to Christ, if you confess Him as your Lord today for the first time, and you believe that in your heart, and you give your heart to Him today, we want to know about it, so that we can celebrate with you, so that we can encourage you, so that we can equip you to grow in your walk with Him. Now, some of you are here today, and you're a Christian already. You've given your heart to Christ, and He's your Savior, but He's not your Lord. And there is a difference. He has saved you from an eternity in hell, but you have yet to make Him Lord of your life. You know what that means? That means that when it's time to choose right and wrong, you choose to obey Him. No matter what it takes. Whether it means that you break up with whoever you're dating, I don't know what the choices are. Maybe it's, you know, a choice that, man, should I take this job because it's more money but sacrifice my family? I don't know. But all I know is that you got to obey God. And here's how you learn to do that. First of all, you pray and say, okay, God, I want to choose to obey you. Show me your way. Show me the right choice. So you pray. The second thing is this. You open His word and you say, okay, God, and you pray before you open it and you say, God, show me in your word what I'm supposed to do and I'll obey you. And here's the third thing. Ask somebody. Ask somebody that's not walking with God. Ask somebody that's a godly person, that loves Jesus Christ with all their heart, that's growing in their faith, so that they can give you some godly advice, not just worldly advice. Now, some of you guys are here, and you're thinking, well, that's tough, man. That means I got to read my Bible. You bet. And that's tough, man. I got to take time to pray. You bet. Man, that's tough. I got to humble myself and ask for help. You bet. And all I can say, it's time to man up and do what's right. If you need help with that, that's why God created me, is to help you with that. I'm going to close this in a word of prayer today. If you have questions or decisions or whatever, just come. We'll visit with you. Lord, I thank you for your word. I thank you that it's clear, Lord, that we have a choice to make today. It's either to follow you or it's not to follow you. It's either to obey you or it's to disobey you. And Lord, today, no matter what it takes, no matter what sacrifice we have to make, I pray that we would choose to obey you so that you can be glorified and so that we can be blessed. Lord, we give you the glory and we thank you for each person that has come today. And I pray, Lord, that they've heard from you. and that they will take what they've learned and apply it to their lives this week. It's in your holy name I pray. Amen. Thank you so much for being here. May God bless the ride that you're on.